becomes remorseful. Na. Not. Svakutumbarama. Enjoying simply by maintaining the members of the family. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffered from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A foolish man does not understand the values of human life, nor does he understand how he is wasting his valuable time simply for the maintenance of his family members. He is expert in calculating the loss of pounds, shillings, and pence, but he is so foolish that he does not know how much money he is losing, even according to material considerations. Chanakya Pandit gives the example that a moment of life cannot be purchased even in exchange for millions of dollars. A foolish person, however, wastes such a valuable life without knowing how much he is losing. Even according to monetary calculations, although a materialistic person is expert in calculating costs and doing business, he does not realize that he is misusing his costly life for want of knowledge. Even though such a materialistic person is always suffering threefold miseries, he is not intelligent enough to cease his materialistic way of life. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Apadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Jana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to see that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the very way of materialistic existence. Here, in today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj is describing one of the most pitiful conditions of human society. How people waste their time. Dulapamanavajanmalobhya samsari. Human form of life is so rare, because it appears that there's a crowded temple room, crowded cities, traffic jams, that there's just too many people around. But when we consider all living entities in microbe bodies, in bacteria bodies, in insect bodies, and in grass bodies, and tree bodies, human life is very rare. There's a spirit soul wherever there's life. 8,400,000 species. Sometimes we have to pass through all of them. Birth, old age, disease, and death in every one. Until ultimately we come to this human form, which is the only possibility to realize who we are, to understand our relationship with God, and to be free from sufferings and illusion. And in this human form of life, padam padam yati padam natesham, nobody knows how long they have. We take for granted that we're going to live till tomorrow. But most people who never make it tomorrow think that they will. That's the way the world is. And every moment we have is our most precious asset in life, because we have the free will to choose what we will do with that moment. Srila Prabhupada is quoting Chanakya Pandit, that if you waste a moment of this human life, you cannot get it back, even with millions and millions of dollars. If you lose millions of dollars, you can get it back, somehow or other. There's at least the chance. But if you waste a moment, there is no chance of getting that moment back. So what is the most precious thing that we have? Our time. But the nature of this illusory existence is to just catch us up in a sense of necessities, just to divert our attention away from its real purpose. And even devotees, for those who are not really spiritually inclined, Maya, or the illusory energy, just consumes every moment of their lives. Thinking how important everything else is except the needs of the soul. Srila Prabhupada gave that simple example of the lady with the bird cage. And she decorated her cage so nice. And a friend came and saw that nice bird cage decorated so elegantly. But the guest was horrified because the bird inside was dead of starvation. Put all your time in decorating the cage, but what about the whole purpose of the cage is for the bird? You forgot the bird. So the whole purpose of maintaining this human body, the whole purpose of family life, the whole purpose of everything is to create a favorable condition for the soul to be happy. And the only happiness of the soul is to love God, to serve God, to become enlightened in this way. But unfortunately, we become so caught up. Prahlad Maharaj is so precise here that a person is very, very careful not to waste a single farthing, which is ultimately of no value at all, but absolutely careless in wasting the precious moments of human life. Prabhupada quotes from the Garga Muni that it is a miserly person who takes this human life and dies like a cat or dog without understanding his or her relationship with God. It's actually the most horrible tragedy that can possibly be. A person finally gets this human life and does not make proper spiritual progress. But we need to hear this regularly because Maya is so strong, she just catches us. And as devotees, the tendency is to procrastinate. That's the way Maya gets devotees. She's got the materialistic world, but for devotees, she gets us through procrastination. Because we know the philosophy. We've heard it so many times. Sometimes we want to hear something new. But, you know, smin yata dehe, I know I'm not this body. Tell me something else. We know it. But still, yes, I'll become serious. But I need to fulfill one more thing. It's like Giriraj Swami quoted Prabhupada with that disciple of Kailash. Kailash was a disciple of Narada Muni. Do you all know that story? Anyways, he was like this personality Prahlad was talking about. He had a family. Narada Muni said, it's time to get serious about your Krishna consciousness. You're not doing your sadhana nicely. You're not doing your seva properly. Kailash said, you know, I just started a family. I just had a few children. After I just settle myself in my business and establish things, then I'll do them. Came back. Said, okay, you know, you're pretty settled in business. You should take your Krishna consciousness seriously now. Well, my children, you know, there's so much they have to learn. They just don't know. They have to take over the business. You know, I have to teach them to take over the business because I'm going to be, then I can retire and do really good. Narada Muni came back some years later. Children were grown up, married, take over the business. He said, It's time. Take your Krishna consciousness seriously. No, they're not doing it properly yet. I have to manage things. So in this way, always some excuse. One day Narada Muni came, knocked on the door. Where's Kailash? Children said, he's dead. He died. Narada Muni was thinking, what a loss. Just kept postponing. Now he's dead. Always a reason. Always a good reason. A very intelligent reason. A very practical reason. So as he's walking away, it's me, Kailash. I'm a dog. Narada Muni said, I'll give you a break. Usually, you don't have a chance after you die as a human. But, I'm a mystic yogi and everything. Just take your Krishna consciousness seriously now as a dog. I'll give you all facility. Kailash said, they're not taking proper care of the house. I have to be here to make sure to guard them and protect them and make sure they're all right. But, Narada, as soon as I see things are good, then I'll take to Krishna consciousness very soon. So he comes back a little while later. He asks the family, where's the dog? He said, the dog died. So Narada Muni's walking around, walking away, and then, Narada, it's me, Kailash, I'm a snake. Narada Muni says, for anybody else it's too late, but I'm Narada Muni, I'll give you another chance. Chant Hare Krishna, take your sadhana seriously, do some seva. Kailash said, but look at how they're misusing and neglecting the garden here. I worked so many years to develop this garden. Just let me make sure that the garden's all right, then I'll take to Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni was very merciful that day. He went to the children and to the grandchildren, and he said, I have to warn you, there's a deadly, venomous snake in your garden. You should kill it. So his family members went running out with sticks, beating. These are the same people he's given his whole life to. He's given up all his spiritual opportunities to serve them, and now they're beating him with sticks. And Kailash the snake screamed out, Narada Muni Gurudev, I'm ready. So we shouldn't have to go through all that. But usually we do. We just have so many other priorities. What Grihastha life means to keep our Krishna consciousness as a prime priority and to orchestrate everything around that. Even if it means we may not be so affluent, it's better to be internally affluent, fulfilled, and happy than to have all these decorations of such a beautiful cage, but the bird inside is starving, lonely, and meaningless. So yes, it's easy to get caught up. It takes great determination not to get caught up in Grihastha ashram. But it's what Grihastha means, to have that determination. Can I tell you the story of a very exemplary Grihastha? No? Yes. Now, you may not be able to imitate this person. I doubt if you can. But the principle of the consciousness that this husband and wife represent is what we should be holding on the altar of our aspirations. We're going back about 900 years. Have any of you been to Kanchipuram? It's a very holy place in South India, not too far from Chennai, what used to be Madras. Well, there is a town not far from Kanchipuram that is called Kura. And there was a very wealthy landowner who lived in Kura. In fact, he owned most of the property in and around that town. And he was very, very expert in all of his business dealings, landholding dealings. He was like a little king. And people called him the Lord of Kura, or Kuresh. He was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. Let me tell you something about Kuresh. Not far from Kura is the temple of Vishnu Kanchi. Kanchi is divided into Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. And the deity there is known as Varadraj. And there's a devotee whose name is Kanchi Purna, one of the gurus of Ramanujacharya, who used to sing and recite poems to Varadraj and have discussions with the deity. So one day, Lakshmi Devi, she inquired from Varadraj, as well as the deity of Lakshmi and Kanchi Purna, "What is that? Every night I hear exactly at the same time, every night. What is that noise?" So that is the gate of Kuresh. He and his wife, Andal, they are so charitable. Whatever they have, they want to use for the welfare of others. Before sunrise, they open that gate and they give charity to whoever comes. And people come all day long. There's lines of people. Anything anyone wants that they have, they give it to them. And it's not until after the sun sets, sometimes it's not till nighttime that they finally close the gate. Now, Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. She said, "I want to meet this Kuresh. I want to meet him." So Kanchi Purna came and said to Kuresh that Lakshmi has heard about how you give in charity unconditionally from sunrise till night every day. She wants to meet you. Kuresh turned to his wife Andal and said, "I'm so ashamed of myself. She doesn't want to meet me because I'm a devotee. She wants to meet me because I'm giving away mundane charity. What is the use of that?" And in the mundane charity I give, I'm getting so much prestige, and that's just taking me farther away from God. Andal, my wife, it is my proposal that we should get out of this shameful condition of just living for the prestige of mundane charity and do what Lakshmi really wants us to do, be sincere and pure devotees. Today, we should give away our home, give away all our property, and take nothing with us except the clothes we're wearing, and we should never come back. And we'll go to Sri Rangam to take shelter of our Guru Maharaj, Ramanujacharya, to learn the science of pure devotion. Andal said, "That's just what I wanted to do." They gave everything away, turned it over, signed it over, so there was no possibility of coming back. It's not that they just went on a vacation and then test out the waters of the renounced life, and then, you know, we know that, you know, it's waiting for us. They gave everything away, all of their property, all of their wealth. They signed over all their land. They had nothing left, and they walked through the jungles. No servants, no helpers. One night, it was late at night, and they were deep in a jungle, and Andal told Quraysh, "I'm afraid. I'm really afraid to be in the jungle in the middle of the night, just walking alone." He said, "One is all." He said, "Did you bring anything with you?" She said, "I only brought one thing. I brought a golden bowl to feed you with." He said, "That's why you're afraid. If you're holding on to anything, then you're subjected to fear. Throw it away." So Andal threw that golden bowl so deep in the forest in the night they could never find it again. And she said, "You're right. Now I have no fear." So they came to Srirangam. And there they were given a simple little kutir not far from Ramanujacharya's ashram. And he and his wife were just so happy just performing devotional service to their guru and to all the Vaishnavas. He was so compassionate. It is said that one time a snake was eating a frog, and the frog was like screaming in pain. How do frogs scream in pain? Does anyone know? Yes. Dinabandhu Prabhu, please. Sounds more like a bird, actually. Screaming in pain. And Quraysh heard that and began, and he wept. He wept in pity and compassion for that frog. He was just such a soft-hearted person toward every living being. So I'm going to skip forward quite a few years. There was a king in Kanchipuram named Kolatunga the First. And he was a religious fanatic. He was like a terrorist, actually. And he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. In Shiva Kanchi, there's a deity named Ekambeshwar Mahadev. And he declared as a law that Ekambeshwar Mahadev, Shiva, is the only and one God. There is no other God. And anyone who worships any other misconception of God will be punished. It's outlawed. Hare Krishna. And his goal was to convert everyone to be devotees of Shiva. Now, he had a minister whose name was Chatugram. Interesting subject matter. Chatugram previously was a prominent disciple of Quraysh. Quraysh taught him the Shastras, taught him Vaishnava behavior, gave his heart, his soul, his life for this disciple. But somehow or other, Chatugram became envious of his guru and envious of his param guru, Ramanujacharya, who was still living. So he rejected his guru, betrayed him, and went. But because he had learned so much from his guru, he was so skilled, so learned, so great, he went to Kolatunga the First and became one of his chief ministers and a pundit as well, as a devotee of Shiva. So Chatugram told the king that for your aspiration to be fulfilled, that everybody becomes devotee of Shiva, you have to do away with Ramanujacharya. Because he's too powerful and he's too influential and he's getting everybody to worship Krishna, Narayan. One of two things has to be done. Either you defeat him and convince him to convert to your religion, or he must die. Otherwise, he's going to undermine everything you stand for. Kolatunga was very, very enlivened to hear this. And Chatugram, he said, why don't you send military to Sri Rangam to invite Ramanujacharya and his guru, Mahapurna, to come back for a debate of who is the supreme. And if he loses, he becomes a Shivite and converts all his disciples to Shivites. And if he doesn't lose, you must kill him. Hare Krishna. So they sent military. They didn't say they were going to kill. They just came with the thought that, with the presentation that there's going to be a debate and we want to invite you to participate, Ramanuja and Mahapurna. So the soldiers come marching into Sri Lanka. And Ramanujacharya hears about it in advance. And he's all excited. Oh, nice debate. Very good. And he's, packing his copan. And he's getting ready to go. But Quraysh was very intelligent. He understood what's happening here. And he privately went to his Guru Maharaj's inner quarters and said, Guru Maharaj, they're going to kill you. That's their motives. I know who this Chatugram is. He said, I beg one benediction of you. Escape. The military is surrounding the place already. You put on my white grihasta clothes, and I'll put on your saffron sannyas clothes, because none of them have ever seen you before. So let me go in your place. Because after all, tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of people, their spiritual lives is depending on you. It would be such a tragedy to the whole world to lose you for so many. It's not about you, it's about everybody. You may not care if you live or die, but there are so many people depending on you who need you. The world needs you. As far as myself, nobody cares about me. There's no loss if I die. So please, for the sake of the world, take my white clothes and escape. He was so sincere. Ramanujacharya could not say no to him. So Ramanujacharya put on the white cloth of a grihasta and just went through the back door and escaped. Mahapurna, Ramanuja's guru, said, I'm too old to escape and all that stuff. Let me just go and debate whether I live or die. So Quraysh came before the soldiers and said, I am Ramanuja, my guru, Mahapurna. And they were brought back to Kanchipuram. There the debate. Chatugram was nowhere to be seen because he didn't want to face his own guru after betraying him like that. So he was gone. Although he mobilized and organized everything. So Kolatunga the First, he said, Shiva is the one and only supreme. You must surrender to Ekambeshwar. Otherwise, you will be punished. Unless you can defeat us in argument. Is Shiva the supreme or is Shiva not the supreme? They had a debate. Between Mahapurna and Kola and Ramanuja, who was actually Koresh, they completely defeated all these scholars, the greatest pundits of Kolatunga. Kolatunga went ballistic. He was so angry. He said, nonsense. And then Kolatunga wrote in formal royal document that either you sign this or you die. Forget all this debate. Koresh reads it. It says, Shiva is supreme. So Koresh writes, and everybody's really happy. He's actually, Ramanuja has surrendered. Now, in weighing grains, they used to have measurements. And one measurement is called a Shiva. But a heavier measurement is called a Drona. So, when Kolatunga, very proudly, I have Ramanuja Charya's signature, I could just distribute this to the whole world. He surrendered. But then he looked at it, said, Shiva is the supreme. But Koresh wrote, but even Drona is greater. Then he went wild. But long ago, when he was a child, Ramanujacharya saved the life of the king's sister. She was haunted by a ghost, and he just said, ghost, get out of here, and chanted the holy names of the Lord, and the ghost went. So he felt it would be very, very hurtful to his sister if he killed Ramanuja. So he told guards, torture him, pluck out his eyes, so he cast him into the forest, so he just dies a slow, painful death. Hare Krishna. So the guards came and they burned out his eyes. And then they burned out the eyes of Mahapurna. And then they dragged him into the forest. Beat them, beat them, and beat them. And Koresh, with folded hands, he looked to the guards and he said, my only prayer is that you be forgiven by Lord Narayan for all that you have done. I'm praying from the heart of my hearts that you be relieved of all your sins forever and that you attain the supreme happiness of Vaikuntha. And then he said, I want to thank you again and again and again because you have facilitated giving me the opportunity to render the greatest service that I could have ever done in my life for my spiritual master. Thank you. And then he bowed down to the guards, blind. It's a painful situation when your eyes are burned out too. The guards' hearts were transformed. They gave some money to Koresh and said, please find your way home. And they offered their obeisances to him and disappeared. Meanwhile, Atulai, who was the daughter of Mahapurna, was following behind the whole scene and just hiding to see if she could be of any help. Mahapurna was just laying on the ground. He was very old. And his daughter was there at his side, and she was trying to help the two of them who were now blind and tortured, their whole bodies. And Mahapurna said, Koresh, you go back. Go back and find your Guru Maharaj somehow or other. But as for myself, I'm too old and I'm in too much pain to travel anymore. I will die here. Koresh says, well, why don't I take you to Sri Rangam? You could die in a holy place. He said, I know I know I can make it there, but I want to glorify the path of bhakti. If one is performing devotional service is so powerful, it doesn't matter where that person dies. In fact, Koresh, I want to die in your arms. Because a Vaishnav is the reservoir of all holy places. And if I die in the arms of a Vaishnav, all the holy places are there. And I will certainly be elevated to Vaikuntha. That is the power of devotional service. And please give my most respectful obeisances to my beloved disciple, Ramanujacharya. So laying in the arms of Koresh with his daughter, offering menial services, Mahapurna fixed his mind on his Gurudev, Yamunacharya, chanted the holy names of Lord Narayan, and gave up his life. Meanwhile, Ramanujacharya was in exile for many, many years, just hiding. And Koresh was just blind, and he went back to Srirangam, and he wanted to go to have, he couldn't see the deity, but he just wanted to go into the temple and pray. Yes? Now, by this time, Kolatunga already put guards so that no Vaishnav could enter any temple in his whole kingdom, including the Vishnu temples. So Koresh came to the temple of Srirangam, and there were two guards. And one of the guards, big, powerful guards, angry guards, said, "This is a disciple of Ramanuja. He cannot come in." And then the other guard said, "But look at his qualities. He's so humble. He's so respectful. He has so much compassion. My heart is melting to see him. We have to let him in." So they got in a debate. And ultimately they decided they would make an exception for him. He could come in the temple. So they said, "Koresh," they didn't know his name. They said, "You can come." He said, I heard you arguing about something. What was the dispute?" And they told him that one of us thought because you're a disciple of Ramanujacharya, you cannot go in. But I argued that because of your good qualities, you should go in. So you could go in. Koresh said, "I have no good qualities. I don't have a single good quality. The only good quality I have is I'm a disciple of Ramanujacharya. And whatever qualities I do have that you may see as good is only by his mercy. So I am not qualified. I cannot go in this temple." That was his spirit. Would you like to know what happened to Kolatunga? Devotees like to know these things. He made such serious aparad. He got a disease that was so miserable. A carbuncle grew on his neck. It grew till it was bigger than his head. And with all his money and all his power and all the royal doctors, no one could do anything about it. And soon that carbuncle was filled with living worms, just eating him. And he couldn't live and he couldn't die. He spent years and years. The only thing he could do is cry in agony for years, until finally he died. And his son, Kolatunga II, also known as Vikram, became the king, and immediately he became a disciple of Ramanujacharya. I guess he saw what happened to his father, and he was learning from other people's mistakes, which is something that ISKCON could do also. So he immediately just opened all the doors to all the temples and gave all facilities, whether you're a Shivite, whether you're a Vaishnava, be happy. It's Chaitanya Bhagavad that describes Nityananda Prabhu when he was on his tour. He came to Kanchipuram and he saw how the Shivites and the Vaishnavas in Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi were fighting. Lord Nityananda Prabhu laughed. Such immature neophyteness. Fighting over, who's the best god? Hare Krishna. That's all he had to do. He just laughed and had darshan of both places and went on his way. So Ramanujacharya came out of exile, put on his sannyas cloth, came back to Sri Rangam. He was looking for Koresh. Sent people all around trying to find him. Koresh was living in the Rishab Hills. When he heard the news that Ramanuja really wanted to see him, he came. When Ramanujacharya saw his disciple with just disfigured, blind eyes, he wept. And he accepted this condition only to serve his guru, to protect his guru. Ramanujacharya just embraced him and wept tears over this wonderful devotee. Koresh, he was telling Ramanuja, he said, No, I'm the happiest man. Nobody could be happier than me. Look at the wonderful service that I was offered for you. How could I ask for anything greater than this, than the benediction of rendering such a service to you? You're still living, you're still preaching, you're still seeing. And somehow I was a small part of facilitating you to do that. I am so grateful. Ramanuja said, I want you to see again. I know the relationship you have with Varadraj in Kanchipuram. I'm going to personally take you there. And I want you to ask Varadraj for the benediction of giving your eyes back. Now, Ramanujacharya had tens and thousands of disciples. He had 1,000 sannyasi disciples. Powerful man. But still, he personally walked from Sri Rangam to Kanchipuram, leading Koresh, a blind man. This is how much he loved this disciple. And Sri Rangam to Kanchipuram is a long walk. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. Koresh was a poet. He had written beautiful prayers in glorification of the Lord. Ramanuja said, sing your prayers in front of the deity of Varadraj and he will give you any benediction. Ask him to restore your eyes. Now, I'm not going to speak much longer, but please stay because it's a very nice story. He sung songs, beautiful prayers of devotion from his heart of hearts all day long. Ramanuja was sitting right next to him. Ramanuja was called out for some important subject to attend to. At that time, the deity of Varadraj speaks to Koresh that your devotion and your love have pleased me so much. I want to give you a benediction. Anything that you want, I will grant it to you. Please ask. Koresh was so humble. He said, my dear Lord, there is a burning desire I have. Please fulfill it. Varadraj said, yes, it is already done. Tell me. Chatugram. my disciple, who betrayed me, who wanted to kill my guru, who wanted to kill his guru, who wanted to destroy me. I pray, give me this one benediction in my life. Forgive him for his offenses. Give him liberation. Elevate him to eternal life in Vaikuntha. Varadaraj was shocked. It's not easy to shock the Supreme Personality. He knows past, present, and future, but still he was shocked on this. To this man, you invested so much of your life in helping him, and he totally turned on you like an envious serpent. I have already ordained him to burn and suffer in hellish planets for countless lifetimes. He said, but by the power of your benediction, he said, I'll send him to Vaikuntha. In fact, he's already there. So he comes out of the temple and meets Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya said, why is your eye still like that? What benediction did you ask for? He told him. Ramanujacharya started crying. What kind of disciple is this? What compassion, what mercy, what... He said, I'm so pleased with you, but still, go back tomorrow, chant prayers with love and devotion, and ask for the benediction of your eyes back. So he went back the next day. He chanted beautiful prayers of devotion throughout the entire day, and Varadaraj, he spoke, I will give you anything you want. What would you like? Would you like your eyes back? Koresh said, that king, Kovatunga the First, he was so envious. He was so evil. So offensive. Please, forgive him for his sins. Grant him the supreme liberation of elevation to Vaikuntha to enjoy eternal blissful life in your loving service. Varadaraj said, it is done. That demon who is destined to hell is going to Vaikuntha. That is the power of your devotion. But then he said, but your own Guru Maharaj, no, actually what happened is this. So then he goes out and Ramanujacharya meets him. And he's still blind. He said, why don't you see? And he told him what he asked for. And then Ramanuja understood that this disciple of mine is a very, very compassionate person. So he went into Varadaraj, Ramanuja, and he said, please, give him his eyes back. Please, give him his eyes back. And the Lord said, I'm subordinate to the love of my devotee. He doesn't want his eyes back. I can't interfere with his desire. This is what he's asking for. So he said, well, please, we'll try it again. So he told Koresh, go back in there the next day and chant your beautiful prayers to Varadaraj. And please ask him for your eyes back. So he went in and asked and did his prayers. And Varadaraj spoke. Didn't even ask him for a benediction, because he knew better. He said, your Guru Maharaj has come in to tell me that he wants me to give you your eyes back. Please allow me to do that. Your eyes are his property. He wants to use them. Quraysh said, I'm tired of seeing this material world with material eyes. I've seen it too long. I've seen so many envious people and so many greedy people. I saw Kolatunga the First. I saw Chatugram. I saw all these people. So I'm just not interested in seeing this world anymore. If you want to give me a benediction, please give me this benediction. That I will only see two things in my life. That I will see your divine, all-attractive, beautiful form, and I will see the form of my Guru Maharaj. That's all. Let me not see anything in this material world, only you and my Guru. Vardraj said, I grant you this benediction. So Ramanujacharya heard about this. And when he saw Quraysh was just in total ecstasy. He said, the Lord granted me the benediction that I could see. You wanted me to ask for vision. I got my vision. I can see. He said, but your eyes are still blinded. But I can see. I could see Krishna. And I could see you. That's all I want to see. So he brought, Ramanuja brought Quraysh to the altar of Vardraj. Said, what do you see? And Quraysh said, I see that Vardraj is wearing a golden dhoti, and on the top of his helmet, he has purple, red, and yellow flowers. And I see a nice lamp just under his left lotus foot. And I see a garland made out of white and blue flowers. And I see a golden crown on his head, and it has in order an emerald and a diamond and a ruby. And he described describing his eyes and the decorations of his eyes. And Ramanuja understood, without eyes, he was seeing the deity in perfect detail. And then he said, what do I look like today, Quraysh? And he said, well, right now, you're scratching your face. And your sikha is slightly blowing in the wind. And you have saffron clothes, and you're standing very nicely, and you have a garland. He described every flower in the garland. Ramanujacharya understood that his heart's benediction was fulfilled. And Quraysh said, please, my dear Guru Maharaj, don't think that these blind eyes are a disturbance to me. It reminds me of the gift that you gave me. Having these eyes reminds me of how you allowed me to render this most intimate, loving service to you. And I am so grateful. And that gives me more happiness than seeing anything of this world. Then the Lord told a devotee, told Kanchipurna, I believe, that I, because of Quraysh's unconditional, selfless service, I have given a benediction that anyone who he is close to will go back to Vaikuntha. Actually, what happened is Quraysh went before the deity and said, there's nothing else for me to do in this material world. Please, let me give up my life and go back to your abode. And the Lord said, I cannot refuse you. Your wish is granted. But I want to give you this benediction that anyone who is close to you will go to Vaikuntha. So then this news came to Ramanuja that Koresh asked for the benediction to die. And then the Lord gave him that benediction along with anyone who's close to you will go to Vaikuntha. So when Ramanujacharya heard that Koresh was going to die, he shocked all the devotees. He started dancing in ecstasy. He was crying. He was leaping. He was laughing. He was dancing. And the disciples said, you know, Guru Maharaj, you know, your disciple's going to die. Why are you dancing like this? He said, because did you hear what I heard? That anyone who's close to them goes to Vaikuntha? Well, I'm pretty close. I'm a spiritual master. So that means I'm going to go to Vaikuntha too. And then he went before Koresh and wept and cried. Now, why do you want to leave us? And Koresh explained that in the time I have had in this life, in the little time I've had, I've been allowed to render so much beautiful service to you. That's all. I don't need anything else. Please give me your blessings. Now, years before he even got blind, can I go back a little? Koresh, he used to do Madhukari every day. From the wealthiest, multi-billionaire type person. He was just going out begging for a little food for him and his family. But one day, it was a torrential rainstorm. And he couldn't go out. And he was actually starving. And his wife, Andal, she prayed to the Lord that please bring some food. My husband's going to die of starvation. I can't tolerate seeing this. So the deity told the pujari, make a procession to the house of Koresh and bring my Mahaprasad. So as soon as the rain came, he couldn't even stand up anymore when the rain stopped. He was just too starving because it rained for many days. It was a monsoon. So as a shanais, Dinabandhu Prabhu, you're not a shanai. Because they don't have shanais in Vrindavan, so he doesn't know these things. He's Prijavasi. It's like Kunti instrument. So they're playing shanais, and they're playing the big drums, and they're chanting mantras, and procession with a big palanquin, with a big plate of prasad on it. And they go right to Koresh's door, and they give the plate to Andal. And said, you know, that Ranganath has sent you his Mahaprasad. So she went and brought it into her husband. And he got suspicious. He said, did you pray for this prasad? She said, I'm sorry, my dear husband, but I did. He said, you can't pray for it. We should be praying to serve the deities. We shouldn't be praying for the deities to serve us. Don't you know better? And she got very ashamed. She said, but still, I'm the servant of the servant, and you're my husband, and serving a Vaishnava is better than serving Krishna. So he said, all right, I understand your love. And he took just a little of the prasad, and he said, you eat this now. So the wife ate it. And according to the Sri Sampradaya, this is a very important part of their history. By eating that prasad, she became pregnant. By eating Ranganath's prasad, she became pregnant. And had two children. And when Ramanujacharya heard that these two children were born, even he said, these aren't... Koresh is... the father in form, but actually these are the children of Ranganath. And he named them Vyas and Parasara. One of the three unfulfilled missions of Yamunacharya that he entrusted to Ramanuja. One was to write a commentary of Vedanta Sutra, the Sri Bhasya. The other is to spread pure bhakti throughout India. And the third was to name a disciple Parasara, the speaker of the Vishnu Purana. So Ramanuja fulfilled his last mandate from his guru and named that child Parasara. And I told you the story about the sand the other day. Well, Dinabandhu Prabhu filled in a very sweet detail. That when that Sarvajna, the all-conquering scholar who was coming in all directions, defeating everybody, bands and elephants and Brahmins, Parasara was only 5 years old. And he just ran up to the palanquin with this great, mature, elderly scholar with a handful of sand and said, "If you're Sarvajna, if you know everything, tell me how many grains of sand are in my hand." And he said, "Nobody could know that. What are you saying? You tell me how many grains of sand are in your hand." He said, "If I tell you, will you accept defeat?" He said, "Yes." The child said, "I'll tell you exactly how many grains of sand are in my hand. A handful." Sarvajna got off his palanquin, bowed down to the child, gave away all of everything he had, and became a devotee. So Quraysh, when he decided to leave this world, his wife, Andal, was there, and he just gave her all blessings and gratitude for all of her pure, unalloyed devotional service. And he turned to his two sons, Vyas and Parasara, and he said to them, you are the children of Vishnu. Do you know when they were babies, Ranganath would tell the pujari, "Put my two children on little swings on the altar next to me"? And that was a regular thing in Sri Rangam for the morning darshan. You know, greeting the deities. You'd go in for the morning darshan, and there was Sri Rangam laying on Anantashesha like this. And just at his feet were two little crib swings with these babies swinging. Everyone recognized these are the children of the Lord. So Quraysh told them, "You are the children of the Lord, and you have..." By this time they were adolescent, grown up. He said, "By this time you have received so much special mercy from Ramanuja. He's named you, he's trained you, he's favoring you. My one instruction to you, never become proud. If you become proud of all the mercy, all the blessings, and all the empowerment you've been given, everything will be finished. Always see yourselves as very unqualified, and see whatever you have is by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, and by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And serve our Guru Maharaj with your heart and soul, in that spirit." And then he turned to Ramanujacharya. He couldn't see, but he could see Ramanuja. And just thanked him from his heart of hearts. And fixed Ramanujacharya's lotus feet in the core of his heart. In his heart's eyes, he was seeing the beautiful form of Lord Narayan. And he chanted the holy names and gave up his life. So this is a Grihastha. He never took sannyas either. Andal and Quraysh remained married couple till death. Yes? But the greatest sannyasis throughout history, honor and worship them and pray to assimilate such divine qualities of devotion. So it's not about being brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis. It's about the quality of our determination to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please Vaishnavas, and to be a compassionate instrument of their love to the people of the world. And that was Quraysh. Srila Prabhupada exhibited such qualities too. Despite strokes and heart attacks and seasickness and everything else, and neophyte disciples and people who betrayed him, and even his own people in India who condemned him, he served. He served his Guru Maharaj so beautifully. Even when Prabhupada was a grihastha, he was doing such amazing service in Bombay. He helped Bhakti Ratchak Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj to start a temple in Bombay. He was leading kirtans, he was making all the organization, he was inviting people. They were a team. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came to install the deities of Radha and Krishna at the center that they worked so hard to establish, his godbrothers told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur he should become the temple president. He's so highly qualified. He has such deep, profound knowledge and devotion. They even named him Bhakti Vedanta because of his knowledge and devotion. His godbrothers gave him that name when he was a grihastha. He was doing a pharmaceutical business to maintain his family. But how much he was engaged in working with his godbrothers to serve his guru and spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. How much wonderful sadhana, wonderful kirtans he would lead, preaching programs. So they say he should be president. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's reply was, let him go on doing what he is doing. In due course of time, he will do everything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So these are the guiding lights for those in Grihastha Ashram and for those in Brahmacharya and Sannyasa Ashram also. Let us be grateful for all Prabhupada has given us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And this is my last class here in Alachua, New Ramanreti, this year. I would like to sincere from my heart of hearts thank all of you for your immense kindness to me and for having such a wonderful, flourishing community. Thank you very much.